center of many objectives, many goals that we have, and to be stuck in that sense of negativity. But over and above that, if we haven't done the work over the years, challenging times such as these are likely to also lead to our feelings, our emotions really deteriorating about our sense of self and, of course, our outlook of the world.
And then enter Tony Dorval.
Good afternoon. Hi.
How are you, Tony?
I'm awesome. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. So you're all about self-mastery. You're a veteran in this discipline. You're a facilitator and a coach.
You can see I've done a few years in this mileage.
What, the balding you're referring to?
You could be my child. You could be my daughter very easily.
So all those years of life and experience have taught you a thing or two.
But it's been beyond just experience. It's been my focus and passion.
Yeah.
Life Masters was about mastering life.
Mm.
So you have Toastmasters, where you go to learn to speak.
Yes.
Life Masters Intentions, where you learn to live.
And lots of people do say that we're willing to go and study how to be an accountant. We're willing to study so many other areas of interest in life, but we don't spend the time mastering or learning ourselves.
And that's the foundation. You are the foundation of all of your success.
Right.
So many people that are involved in some kind of business thing, they spend hundreds of thousands studying to learn to become an accountant and whatever those things are.
Yeah.
But they don't have the fundamental skills of self-awareness, self-management, self-motivation, how to manage your state, what you focus on, how you speak to yourself. That's been the inculcation from their culture, their religion, their schools, and then they become a victim of their past programming.
Mm.
And that's why when we have such high levels of... But if you read the research, by the time people are 65, less than 10% are financially and emotionally in a place that they want to be.
Yeah.
And that's very scary. When I was a Boy Scout, when Hillbrow was a white, like kind of old ladies' village, that it was the old ladies were living there. We used to take them food. We used mm-hmm. to collect food.
Mm-hmm.
And you used to see them eating a can of cat food, half a can of cat food for breakfast and half a can of cat food for dinner. And you think, well, why didn't you make plans 30 or 40 or 50 years ago?
Yeah.
And so many people, in all of my investment, I'm the best investment I make in me. Because mm-hmm. every rand I invest in me, and time and money, I get a 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times return. So people spend money on shoes or new cars.
Yeah.
I invest in me because I get a much bigger return on that. And that's the challenge is... We don't grow our mental and emotional muscles. We don't have resilience is the number one issue we need right now.
Yes, yes. And I was just describing the times we're living through. So it does require resilience, and many things in our life require that we have a grit.
Mm-hmm. Now, I worked with Professor Stoltz, who was the guy that started adversity intelligence. So IQ gets you on the field.
Yeah.
EQ keeps you working with people. But AQ, or resilience, allows you to take a punch and get back up again.
Yeah.
So I don't care how good your IQ is or your EQ, but if you're on the field and you get to take a hit and you stay down, you need that power to get back up. And we're in tough times.
Yeah.
We're in tough VUCA times. And I'm a techie.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to hack computer software. I now hack human software. But with the fourth industrial revolution coming, we are squeezing people into a narrow and narrow opportunity of delivering value to the world. And the number one thing that I've seen is people say, skill set, train. Nothing. A great skill with a bad attitude or bad negative mindset is toxic.
Yes.
And that for me is the challenge. Is we need to create, if we're going to change our employment situation and our relationships, that start with mindset.
Mm-hmm. Even a great skill without self-awareness, without goals, without a vision is pointless.
Absolutely.
It's rendered valueless.
So for me, the awareness of I am me, I am in charge of me. And I often play with people, I say, have you been angry recently? So let me play with you, if I may. Have you been angry recently?
Yes, as recent as yesterday, as recent as an hour ago.
So who was it or what was it that made you angry?
Well, in this case, it would be our earlier caller.
Okay, so here's my challenge, and for you and for the listeners.
I just walked into it, didn't I?
If I didn't know you better, I would say that you were fibbing badly.
Mm.
Because you're manipulating. You're blaming her mm-hmm. for your emotional state.
I walked into
but
it.
But who was the person making the energy? Her or you?
Me.
She was a stimulus, press the button.
Yeah.
You chose unconsciously to react, and that's the challenge. We are the masters, we are the wizards.
Yeah.
If we wake up enough to stand back from automatic reaction, which happens in less than a tenth of a second.
How do you step back?
You have, need to understand the game you're playing. Your unconscious brain makes decisions for you up to 7 seconds before you consciously know about it. So the conscious brain is an ant on the back of an elephant.
Mm-hmm.
The conscious brain is going north. the elephant's going south and the brain thinks it's making progress. You're just at the whim of this constant program structure that you've gone through in your life. And so people think they are the one in charge making decisions.
Buddhism.
It's your past, it's your history, it's your identity, it's your mindset, it's your beliefs, your values. They give you that reactive process.
Yeah.
So the game is to wake up. And that people think they are awake, but many of them are asleep. Most of us are asleep. And that's the challenge, is to realize we are asleep.
Okay.
And we can awaken. And that starts with scanning yourself. If you scan your body right now, how are you feeling?
Hmm.
And so once you start to be able to do that more regularly, you can then say, well, let me ask you, how are you feeling? Scan yourself, how are you feeling right now?
Very alert.
Okay. Give us an emotional feeling to that. Mad, glad, bad, sad, happy. Give I'm just watching those eyes and the nose curl.
Yeah, trying to put a finger on this precise moment. Pretty curious, I must say.
That's not an emotion.
That's not an emotion.
Feeling.
I feel well.
That's not a feeling. Mad, glad, bad, sad.
I'm not necessarily happy.
I know, but I can see that.
Yeah.
So my challenge is, that's as a reaction to a context.
Yes.
Who's the wizard?
I need to.
If you make yourself unhappy,
mm-hmm.
who makes you happy?
All right.
Happiness is a choice. Not always easy, but once we realize we can make that choice, you become the master.
But first, the other thing again, I want us to pause there for a moment, because that suggests that the other emotions have no value, no place.
No, I didn't
say that. What do you do with them then?
Oh, that your previous lady was talking about the grief.
Yes, daughter.
You cannot feel joy if you cannot feel grief.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't feel the range from down to shame and hurt and guilt, you can't feel peace, love, and abundance and joy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about not feeling. It's about being aware of it and being able to use it consciously. When I was in the Navy, a guy got so angry, he put petrol in himself and he lit himself. But he was in a rage. You know, people say, I lost it.
Wow.
So if you can get to the point of losing it and giving up, because you are run, you're a set of programs. You've got an operating system running your head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we run most of our life 99% on automatic. Did you brush your teeth with the same hand, get out of bed the same side if you came home, went from home?
Yeah, you know how to change gears, get through the traffic.
All of those. Automatic. The brain, to save energy, automates everything.
Mm.
We have to come off that automatic.
But that's a lot of energy. If we look at the number of thoughts we have in a day,
55,000,
yeah.
And so it's the same BS as you had yesterday.
On and on, that treadmill that you're on with the same thinking. And now you're saying we have to add to the work that we have in a day by intercepting as much as we can.
I'm saying choose a better quality of life, because what's more important than the value of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a.
So we must intercept, is that what you're saying, to change?
Well, wake up.
Mm-hmm. What does that entail then? What is waking up?
Becoming aware. Like I'm talking to you now, you're going to start to wake up and become aware of the thoughts that you're having.
Yes.
And become aware that you are the one.
And the feeling and the
mind,
where's the tension?
Making the thoughts.
Yeah.
So once you discover the tension, you can then go there and say, all right, let me breathe. What have I been focusing on? What's the story I'm telling myself? Because who's telling me the story?
Mm-hmm.
You can be thought by thought that's not yours, but it's not part of today's discussion.
Yes,
like 99% of your thinking is you.
Mm-hmm. So then that means that's low self-awareness.
Well, it's happening, whether you're aware of it or not.
Yeah.
It is happening. We think we are us. We are our body. We are a soul, spirit, occupying this biological machine.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was going to talk about later is we're a bacteria factory. There's tons and there's trillions of bits of bacteria that in fact are impacting how we think, feel and act.
Mm-hmm.
We think we're in charge. You know, I've seen the video where there's a bacteria, a virus gets into a snail, gets up to its eye, takes control of it and makes it climb the tree to get to the top so the birds can get it so it propagates.
Yeah.
So we think we're the ones, but we're a family of energy, of life forms. So step one, becoming aware of I'm not just my body. You know, we identify with the body. I am so much more.
Yes. But so often we're even disconnected from that very body. We're in the thoughts that you were describing.
I used to live a short distance from my body through a hard upbringing. So in the intention of not feeling pain.
Yeah.
We disassociate and you live a short distance. And I was one of those, which is why I got involved in the business, because I was rock hard. My mom and dad died, my mom and dad were at the funeral. And it was the first time I ever saw my father holding my mother's hand. in my life.
In your life.
And so I had an upbringing that was very cold, and I had to make a decision, be like them or go the other way and become love. That's why I asked you about a hug and that. But you have to make a decision of who am I? Because your identity, people say you need a skill set to be successful. It comes down, the absolute root is, who are you?
Yeah.
For me, my picture of you, you're a piece of source, you're a piece of God, you're a piece of the most powerful force in the universe. I call it love.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, you have full potential, like your car's potential to go 200 miles an hour, 200 Ks. You may not get it there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always my thing is, so how much of your potential are you using right now? And most people say 20, 30, 50, 70. And I'm saying it's maybe only two or three.
Mm.
But what's stopping you from getting to use that potential?
And that's where the work comes in, right? Yeah. So that's where the mastery.
And that's the value. The gold is there. Yeah. The love, the peace, the joy, the abundance.
And that's the void of religion, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, way
past. Be clear, because you mentioned God, you know, it's energy, universe. So
somebody,
you want to
somebody started the system. Yeah. What label you want to give it? It's way past our mind's right and yours is wrong.
Yes, and we're just all just interconnected, whichever way you look at it. So they also, there's a discipline, there's an area to all of this known as self-limiting beliefs that many of us hold. You want to be rich one day, to be at 65 when retired and not have to eat your can of pilchards.
Or cat food.
Or cat food. Yeah. Yes, cat food across parts of the day. So, and yet you're living in a way that suggests that you're not going to have a free life when you're older.
The biggest thing that affects people that I see globally and in Africa specifically is a thing called learned helplessness. So let's go to the circus. You have this huge elephant that's strong as 100 people. This elephant standing at the bar with a little rope around its leg. Could the elephant break away if it wanted to?
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't it?
Learned. It's been trained.
It's been taught. Because as a baby, they put a huge chain, they put a mega stake in the ground, and it fights and fights, and eventually it learns, I can't. So once it's that embedded belief is, I can't, there's your limiting belief system. It's a learned helplessness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people, whether they go through that or not, are still resilient enough to keep on trying. They keep on shooting. They keep on pushing. They keep on climbing. Others just believe that belief and become couch potatoes. You know, what's that thing on when you sit on the couch to when you're watching?
The remote control?
No, that's the automatic income reducer.
Oh.
Because what's TV? TV is time vampire. Have you ever made money being successful watching TV?
No, in fact, there's an academic who says, if you are, what the definition of loser is when you're watching more than you're sweating. So yeah. If the watching is higher than the sweating, the people who know the most number of adverts, in fact, you know, he was giving these different pointers about why this formula exists. So if the watching is greater than the level to which you sweat, then definition of loser.
So belief is like hypnosis. I don't know if you've ever watched real hypnosis.
Yes, we've had it here in the studio before.
So a belief system is just like that. You embed a program and a rule that says you can't, so you don't. And so as much as you might give the person all of the tools, the technologies, access to information, if that belief system says, I can't, they never, ever step up into that position of self-power, self-efficacy, and have hope and take action. Because at the end of the day, success is based on action. Fiercely focused, right direction, incremental action.
Mm-hmm.
So many people have this very deep-seated, well, I can't, but my father didn't, so I can't, and the government and the people and the race and the religion. You know, we've got all these things that we pile on to validate your belief system, to validate your identity.
What happens when there's a conflict?
Well, there is always a conflict. We've all got values conflicts in our head and belief conflicts, so I think I'm a good guy.
Yeah.
But the moment something comes along, like somebody says, a friend of mine came the other day and he said, listen, there's this new thing you can buy and sell and make money and you make 1,000 rand from this transaction. And I'm saying, but that's a scam. Yes, you want to make this value in prosperity. But then I have a value system that says integrity matters and that kind of thing I'm not willing to play in that game. But the biggest problem is I'm a paraglider. So if I say to you, let's go paragliding, what's your first comment?
I'd love to, even though I'm afraid of heights, but I do things regardless.
So if your number one value is safety or certainty, you might like the excitement. So that's the foot on the gas.
Yeah.
But the real handbrake and the brakes is like, danger, danger, don't go.
Mm-hmm.
So my number one value is freedom and risk and learn. So I've flown, I've crashed, I've done a few silly things, but I push the line because I'm constantly looking to... you'll never know where the end of the line is until you go past the line. And whatever you think is the end, I promise you, you're still very far away. So all of our listeners, they have huge potential. And that's why I wrote the book, Swift Success. And that's my whole formula, the success insurance. You know, you obviously have life insurance and home insurance. Take out, work out a number. What's your monthly total, roughly? Life, medical, house, boat, plane, train, helicopter. Take a number, say 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Double that number,
yeah.
20,000. Add two noughts, 2 million. That's what you're going to spend on insurance in 10 years. At the end of 10 years, what are you going to have in your hand? Nothing.
Nothing.
Now, if you're not investing an equal or greater amount in building yourself, in growing yourself, in maintaining your health, because that's what I've come to discover. I know all the mind stuff and the energy stuff and the NLP and the hypnotherapy stuff.
Yeah.
My new partner is a health specialist. And we were discussing around this whole process, which is why you got a version 2 on my speaker notes, around, you know, dopamine, that happiness drug. I always say people know what to do. They don't do what they know because they don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up in the morning, it's like, yes, God, let's go. Great, I'm good. Or it's like, oh, my gosh. If you don't have the emotion, the energy, and the state to take action, you will never. But what I learned yesterday, dopamine is such a vital component in your happiness.
Yeah.
But 80%, up to 80% of the dopamine comes from your gut. Not from the brain, from your gut. So if your gut health... And I've been involved in this recently, doing a fast, and we're speaking about, I did a cleansing fast, and you do a colonic and clear your gut. But most of that happiness and that health is the foundation of you being able to take action, of being able to focus, of being able to feel good, of being able to have sustained resilience. We've discovered now, chemically, you can reduce the resilience factor in mice already. Because of that gut.
Right.
The bacteria.
So the ecosystem.
Yeah, all the thousand litres of bacteria that are there.
As you said, we are actually a walking, we're just a walking bunch of bacteria. So, I mean, we've only really touched on some of the biggest challenges that people have. And there's still so much more to talk about because we want to locate this within an organization where we bring value. And so the transformation starts with the individual.
Absolutely.
In essence. So we're going to continue with Tony after the latest in EWN headlines. My guest is Tony Dovell. He is a life master. And we'll tell you more about his book and his life's work a little bit later.
But first, here's the latest in EWN headlines.
As well as in
that's a lot.
It's my life. I can take you for 5 days. When I had my radio show, my program was called The Now Factor. So Eckhart Tolle obviously was listening to me in 92, 93, 94 to start his book, The Power of Now. No, but I had an hour's show every day.
Yes. And so when you picked up the book, you were like, oh, wait.
I need to check. You got some of my material here.
Okay.
No,
I love Eckhart Tolle.
I show he's got his own connection to source.
Yeah. I love how chilled he is. He's just like, and then that accent.
But you see, isn't that the reality? Everybody's going for means goals, money.
Yeah.
You know, I know you've got your business, your nail business, and your glamour and that. And it's a thing that sells, significant sells.
But I meditate, I do breath work, I do hiking, you know. Balance is something that I learned as well. With time, with the years, it wasn't always there.
See, I'm blessed that this, my work isn't work.
Yeah.
That's why I'm on the planet. It's my purpose. That's why I'm on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, balance doesn't matter whether it's a Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, it's not
paid or not paid. I love what I do.
Right. Yeah. So it's not confined because it's your life.
It's my soul purpose. I'm here to raise humanity's consciousness. That's why I'm on the planet. For this life. Next life will be something further.
It's multiple lives. Okay, never mind. I was going to say that with the lessons, like each one has its own lesson. And based on whether you've learned it or not, when you come back,
it goes into your Akashic Records,
yes,
your DNA Akashic Records.
Exactly.
And
so
you
the
come
next
back
round,
and
there's consequence and impact and influence from past.
So that's why this life has to be quality, so that you can take, you can learn what you needed to learn in this life, so that when you come back, and then some people say that there is a ceiling. One guy said, like, you know, from 1 to 10, so the people that are at 10, and then after that, they just don't come back.
No.
Do you think
the reason why we are here, the reason why we are out here is for source to feel.
To an expression of the universe, but with the nervous system, the body.
The future is everyone's. 702 Masterclass.
Well, it's 26 minutes to 3. Ooh, one person says, I'm late for a meeting listening to your guest. Where's he been all my life? I'm 40. So thank you very much. And then there's a question about innate health. It's an unsigned one. It says, does your guest believe in the concept of innate health, that we are okay no matter what? We are innately resilient. Our experience is all coming from thought in the moment. And that's all that's ever consistent, right? The now.
Sure. But the now is the second. That's all we have.
It's all we
have.
Any
place we have power.
There's no past. There's no future.
Well, there is in our 3D timeline. There is a past in your mindset. You can't go and find it, and you can't go and change it in physical reality, but we can rewire it. I have a process called PMR, proactive memory rewriting, because your story, your history, controls how you show up today.
So if
like I was saying in the beginning, I had quite a hard upbringing, which I need to take my own medicine and drink my own Kool-Aid and go back and change that memory as it's stored, because that'll change my potential as I show up now. So we can't change tomorrow, but we can influence what tomorrow could potentially be. But to go back to your innate health, your body is an incredible machine. It's a self-managing, a complex system of incredible note. The challenge that we have is we're exposing ourselves to toxins, radios, food toxicity we put in our bodies.
Lots of noise.
When I was 21, I used to sell Ferraris and Lamborghinis. And now today, that same car used to be 66,000 rand in those days. I'm talking 42 years ago. Today, that's a 2 million rand car. So if you had a Bugatti Veyron, I don't know if you understand, some Lani car.
I know cars. I know cars, Tony.
So if I came along and was going to put old oil in your car, would you be happy?
Of course not.
But we do that to our body. Look at the kind of toxic stuff we put into our body, which is why we have a problem with our gut and our health. So stress is an exacerbator and initiator of illness. The toxicity in our system is an exacerbator and an initiator. So given the body, give it freedom from the garbage we do to it, it will innately heal itself. I mean, it's an incredible machine. This is this biological system is outstanding. I mean, whoever made this knew their stuff. But we do stuff that holds it away. We've got fog, all this wireless smog. We've got the kind of foods, the toxicity in foods and those things. You know, we're doing unnatural stuff.
Yeah.
And the problem is that messes up our foundation for being able to be successful, to be able to feel healthy, to be able to have capacity and self-efficacy and take action again. But at the end of the day, for me, the ultimate dance is we're here to feel. Do you want a new car? Yes. Why? You don't want the car. You don't want the money. You want what it will do for you, the feeling that will come.
Yeah.
And that's why my mission is to bring more freedom, love, abundance, meaning, peace, and joy for those who are ready. Because some are just not ready. They want the money. They need the car to say, you know, look at me. Look who I am. That significance drives a huge number of people.
Yes. But that significance, of course, we've founded it on materialism.
Well, that's how the world goes around. If you don't buy, there's no economy.
Yes, but let's move away from that for a moment, because there are consequences to a life that lacks self-awareness.
Oh, wow.
That lacks self-mastery, self-management, regulation, you name it.
When people get to the pinnacle of the money, material stuff, and they realize, but like, is this really it? I've got a car, and I chased after the Mercedes and the convertible, and I got it. And I'm sitting at the robots, like, everybody checking me out. I mean, why else would you buy it? And you want people to see. You want to be seen. And after, like, probably 3 or 4 months, it was just another car. And then you realize, I didn't want the car. I wanted the feeling. I wanted recognition, validation, appreciation. But once you wake up and realize, you don't have to go via the means goals. You can go straight to the ends goals. How could you feel joy? What could you focus on right now? What gratitude could you express that would help you feel joy and love and peace? Right.
In the absence of the Ferrari.
Yeah, yes. You don't need the Ferrari. The moment you need something on the outside, you're giving away your power. You're the wizard. You have everything you need on the inside. You're the source of love. You're the source of pain. You know, you kick your toe on the edge of the bed, it's sore. It's like, ow, 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 pain. But the suffering is a story you keep telling yourself. And that's what holds us back. I can't, I won't, it's not fair. Nobody loves me.
Yeah. So when you step into an organization that says we need to transform, we need more productivity, we need the culture that we've put as our mission, that the vision that we've laid out to literally live within these walls, where do you start?
Well, people are waking up slowly to create a great place to know that the younger generation like you guys and the younger ones are bringing more meaning to the workplace rather than just work for the money. So for me, number one is, where are we right now? We do an assessment. We have a range of assessments and we establish a baseline. Where are you? Where are you per department, by manager, by organization? So the culture, the leadership, the engagement levels, execution. So it's a whole lot of technical stuff. It's like we take your Ferrari, you plug in the diagnostic, and you got 200 points, and you say, ooh, that wheel's out of balance. So if you look at my model, you can have a beautiful Ferrari, but if the one wheel's out of balance, you can't go fast. Mm-hmm. If your motor's got contaminated oil, you can't go fast. So we look to see where are the issues, where are the hakplekke. And then we will sit down and design a process which starts. You can't build a high-performance team without high-performance people with the right mindsets and right relationships. So it's people first, then teams, then leadership, and then the culture. But everything is a foundation of people, individual self-mastery, self-awareness. And so that's our process, is we build the people first, rebuild the relationships, rebuild trust, rebuild self-awareness, self-management, that emotional intelligence component. Plus, on top of that, we build the resilience factor, because, hey, work is tough. There's pressure. You got to deliver more with less.
Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to do that through work or the places where we work, that we came in already with the high level of self-awareness? And what happens then if there's a team member who has low self-awareness?
Even if you maybe are a great person with good resilience and high self-awareness, you're a high performer, to go into an environment where there's a toxic culture, incompetent leadership and bad relationships, you're not going to stay long. So the challenge is raising the bar for everybody. You're raising the water in the harbor, with all boats rise.
Yeah.
And that's our powers. People do the team building and the development and the training. Me, I call it corporate soul surgery. Mm-hmm. It comes back to the core of, do you bring love? You know, nobody wants to make more money for the boss. It's what I call greedership. If it's only about the money, it's greed.
Yeah.
There's no love, there's no soul in that goal. So it's got to be about the people and the opportunity. And the money is a byproduct. You don't work so that you can get money. The money is a byproduct of doing stuff that you love and bring value.
Yes. And feeling alive in what you're doing.
You know, most people that are listening, if they're bosses, are going to be shocked to know that at least more than half their staff are ready to leave to find a new place to work. Not because it's necessarily a bad place, but they're looking for a place where there's meaning for them, where there's growth, there's significance, there's connection and contribution and collaboration and good trust. Every organization I look at has got toxic levels of no trust, conflict.
Yes.
Just to work, to quantify a number, I have one of my clients that they have a 15 million rand a month salary bill.
Mm-hmm.
The average company listening is losing between 10 and 12% of their monthly salary bill purely through invisible conflict and demotivation.
Wow.
That is wow.
Wow.
And so when people come along and say, well, what's it going to cost me to do that? I say, well, hold on a second. This is an investment, and that's how I'm going to go back to the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not investing 2 million in yourself to build a better you, because a better you and a better me makes a better we. And a better we together. And that's part of my whole journey with my life masters in the corporate environment, is to rebuild the relationships across the cultures, across the religions, and where you love to come to work.
Yes. But, you know, interestingly, you talk about this new generation, what they've brought to the workplace and so on. I think it was Simon Sinek who says, yes, they want the bean bags. They want all these fancy things within the workplace, and the one organization that seems to embody that or personifies it is Google. And yet this very day I was reading an article that says they have a massive culture problem that they say is, the experts are saying, is destroying the organization from inside. So it is not the bean bags or the great cafeteria alone.
Oh no.
It's the human beings.
It's the human element. Yeah. If you step back from the picture of why are we on the planet? What is business about? Now, for me, ultimately, business is a place where you go to learn and grow and uplift everybody that's part of that community versus make a lot of money for the shareholders, and the stakeholders get abused, which is the kind of model we still have in the corners of the world. But for me, I call it consciously constructive. We need to be growing. When I had my computer business many years ago, if you worked in my organization, you had an hour's training every single morning.
Mm-hmm.
You don't come to training, you don't work in my company. So it was a computer organization. And I believe that's today. You should be doing a minimum of 45 minutes of training and development of your staff every single day.
Right.
In some, whether it's in self-worth, self-esteem, negotiation, communication, management, leadership.
Yes, yeah.
You've got to be incrementally growing. You know, less than 10% of training people go on is applied back in the workplace. Within 30 days, you forget 90% of the stuff and the manual goes on the shelf that you never look at again.
Yes.
But if you do what I call nibble knowledge, if I teach you one little thing every morning, just one little nibble of knowledge, that becomes the castle that builds and grows their things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, some people wake up because they have an accident and they suddenly get awoken from their sleep and think, well, I had it. I crashed my paraglider. I fell 50 meters. I smashed my body. I still have holes in my chest and my thigh.
Yeah.
I was in bed for 3 months.
Yeah.
But in the middle of that crash, I realized I can die and I need to start living, not putting everything on pause. On a one, you know, one day I'll be happy. One day when I get married, I'll be happy. When I get the car, I'll be happy. All you got is now. Choose to be happy. Happiness.
Now.
You wanted to say there.
No, I wanted to say that I think that kind of change, that kind of steering does take a lot of courage, and to undo or to move away from a particular type of culture is hard work. It's almost like you have to break it and build it anew.
Well, we all have our own home culture or religious culture that we come into the workplace with.
Yes.
But then you have to agree on a workplace culture.
Mm.
Now, when I play hockey, I played fairly serious hockey. There are rules on that field that you abide by or you get kicked off the field. And it's the same in an organizational culture. You need to get very clear on what are the values that drive and what are the behaviors linked to that value. So for me, it's got to go back to the individual. Self-development is understanding what drives you.
But, you know, when it comes to motivational work, I heard a stat the other day that said only 2 people, let's say 2 out of 100, go and implement those changes.
Yeah.
The rest, it's kind of nice to hear we're inspired now. We're inspired maybe for a week or so, but that lasting impact is not necessarily there.
Why do you think I hate being called a motivational speaker? I'm not a motivational speaker. It's like shaving. Because if you look at the money being spent and the information available on the internet, anybody who wants to be, do, and have more could just go online and get it free.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is not having access to information. It's having the right information, but then having the right mindset, mood, state, physical, and energy to execute that information.
Okay.
So you can have that beautiful Ferrari with the latest stuff. Wrong fuel, wrong energy, you're going nowhere.
You're not going to get far. Here's a caller. We've got Rachel calling from Fort Lauderdale. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, Azza. How are you?
Good. Welcome.
Thank you. I actually caught the conversation halfway through, so I'm not sure what you guys are talking about.
Self-mastery. It's about self-mastery.
Okay, yeah. Great. So then my question is one able to master or overcome attention deficit and ADHD through the self-mastery, through the program that Tony's talking about?
Yeah, through these techniques. So, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that. I believe through my NLP work and hypnosis work that we are able to get to the programming of our core biology system.
Yeah.
But also you'll find a lot of that ADHD stuff is because of your diet and the gut health issues. And so they found in some research in the States that a lot of the youth that were in detention had very high sugar levels.
Mm.
And so because of the food and the kind of stuff that you're consuming, your body is then creating a context and a foundation to come off.
Yeah.
So I don't agree with them that they should give them Ritalin and stuff like that, you know, because they should rather give the teacher Ritalin to speed them up. But the problem is the kids today, they can learn from a fire hydrant, and we're teaching them one spoon at a time. The youth today, or the crystal kids, are connected to source. They're powerful. They bring light. They bring love.
Yeah.
And we're using old dinosaur models to try and teach them. It's like putting a Ferrari, a 2,000 horsepower Ferrari, down my driveway. It's like you've got this huge potential, but you're using the wrong models and the wrong assessments. If you assess how well a pig can fly, you're always going to, it's always going to fail.
Absolutely. In fact, today I was also looking at, I'll forward you the article, get your thoughts on it, actually, about that very thing, about some of the challenges we're seeing in school aren't necessarily about the children, they're about the schooling system. Mm,
absolutely. You know. And the teaching.
Yes, yes, precisely. Rachel, is this for you or is it for a child or someone you know?
It's my son, as he's just been diagnosed. So I really didn't want to go around, you know, telling people that he's ADHD, but I'm trying to find a way that I can manage it without the drugs, you know, naturally, if
yes.
I can, you know.
Yes.
And unfortunately, you know, I'm reading up a lot about it, but I'm not understanding it.
One of our swimmers, Cameron van der Berg, that's it. I thought I was going to forget the name. He was diagnosed at a young age, then his parents got him into sport. He tried all sorts of sports, and then swimming stuck. And that's the one that he's gone on to excel in. But after that, there wasn't a need for him to go on the various therapies. So there are, I think, different approaches. So the research might be exciting as you move forward. Thank you, Rachel.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Ezra. Thank you.
Sure.
So to that listener and for other people listening, because health is such an important component, and because for me, I don't have children, so humanity, you guys are my children. I've never been married, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I have no kids, you are my children. I'm willing to give away a copy of my book, my Swift Success PDF.
We can't
PDF.
Do that,
why
Tony?
Not?
I'll tell you off air. Let's take a
702 Masterclass.
Right, and we spent the previous hour, this hour, in fact, with a self-mastery facilitator. He's a veteran at it, Tony Dovell. And we'll tell you about his book in a short while. But we are taking your questions around self-mastery, self-management, regulation, just self-awareness in general, because it's an area that also requires a lot of our own investment. Here's a question, Tony. One of our listeners says, please ask your guest, this is Pirwani One on Twitter, please ask your guest how I can outgrow and outlive old habits. I love watching football, but it takes a lot of my study time. And I think we can substitute football with and what it takes a lot of the person's time with the Kardashians, with Generations, with whatever else we can substitute.
All the nebulous distraction that has no real life enhancing value.
Yes, you're watching other people live their lives, do their best.
I mean, and that's crazy. You're sitting on the sidelines watching other people dance and live and earn and learn.
Mm.
So for me, number one, it's a value issue. So he's got a higher value in the watching and the sport and the excitement and the adrenaline and the thing that he gets. And you probably find, I haven't had people wake up and say, yeah, I've got to study. It's kind of it's like insurance. It's a have to buy kind of thing.
Yes.
So for me, I would set up a deal whereby I can watch 10 minutes of TV for every half an hour of study. And you use something like a Pomodoro. I use a sand timer.
Mm-hmm.
So the sand timer goes on. I fierce focus. I do what I need to do while that timer's on. And then you reward yourself with something.
Okay.
But make sure the reward is smaller than the study time. You don't want to have 10 minutes study and half an hour TV.
Right.
And make it easy to happen. If you want to learn to play guitar, but you're watching TV, put the guitar right next to you versus down the passage in the cupboard behind the shoes.
Get it later.
It easy to happen.
Sure.
And it takes typically about 90 days to re-embed the neurons that fire together, that wire together. And then get an account of, I have a process called SEAL, and I can almost guarantee that you would take the action. So I'll give you the story. I had a feud with my family, hadn't spoken to them for 8 years, and I was on a workshop, self-development, investing in me, and the guy said, is there something you should do, could do, would did do, if you did do, would change your life?
Yeah.
And mine was talk to my family. But it was, if you put a gun on my head and said talk, I'd have taken the bullet. I could not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, contract with a buddy. I chose a buddy. He said, put down an asset of some kind, free and clear, was my disco, like 400,000 rands of the disco.
Yeah.
And a deadline, by Friday lunchtime, 12 o'clock, if you haven't spoken to your parents, your buddy takes your disco.
Ah.
So there's a promise of performance and a consequence of not. And the consequence of not is big. 5 to 12, I still hadn't phoned. 3 minutes to 12. Because of the pressure of my agreement, I eventually did. And I'm grateful that it did. But I wouldn't have. And it's those kind of things. You need something for your...
That's a great idea.
And that's what a coach is.
And you can even use that with kids. Yeah, coach.
It's accountability. You made a promise as a coach. If there's no consequence, there's no need to push.
Let's go to KK in Lone Hill. KK?
Hi, KK Diaz from Lone Hill.
Hello.
How are you, Tony?
I'm awesome. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I just wanted to give you a big up, man, not only on what you do, but on what you did for me. So for people who don't know, I've published 3 books. I've been a business coach for a few years myself. And if it wasn't for Tony and somebody else who convinced me to write my book, I wouldn't be writing my 4th one now.
Wow.
I just wanted to say thanks. And keep doing what you're doing, man, and keep... just motivating and inspiring us. And
nice.
Congratulations on to your 4th one. So you're living your best life now.
I honestly am. You know, I've been working on the life I live now for about 10 years, and I'm glad to say I've kind of achieved that 10-year goal. And through the guidance of people like Tony, that I've become who I've become today.
Thank you for that call. Thank you, KK. Great compliment.
He actually climbed the mountain. And that's, I think that's the value, is he invests in himself. He takes the money. And if I had my life over again, I'd find out who's got what I want, who knows how to do it. I'd go to them and say, how much are you going to charge me? Whatever it is, get me to the goal fast.
Yeah.
Rather than me wasting 30 years of trying. And I've dabbled all over the universe. I mean, I would be a billionaire if I focused. So you need to get somebody that knows how to do it. And let them hold you accountable. Let them mentor you, coach you, teach you, but pay.
Yeah.
Because when you pay, you learn.
Right. I just want to get through some of... Another one says, I have a problem focusing in meetings. I end up falling asleep instead of paying attention. Very embarrassing for me to pay attention. I have to either doodle or write every word that is said. Is there help for such? Comes from Mohau.
Gut health.
So concentration comes from... Is that then what you're going to leave us with? That to really be on a good track and in achieving and in sticking with the self-awareness work... Gut health.
You need to do the brain, mindset, learning, expertise, knowledge, skill, ability.
Yeah.
But you've got to have the platform, which is your health. Now, I lost the use of my hands for a while.
Mm.
And you suddenly realize you can't do much without the full use of your hands.
Yes.
And it's the same with your body. If your gut is not making the dopamine to give you the happiness to feel good enough to take action, you're not going to take the action. And so there's thousands of different bacteria in the system.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to say is, you know, as a foundation, invest in yourself, in knowledge, skill, ability, mindset workshops and the coaching, but also go and do a colonic, do a detox, get your body clean as a foundation first. You know, I just did that 2 weeks ago. I did a full colonic with a weight loss doc and got my body back. I'm down 6 kilos. I'm clearer. I'm doing a ketosis diet.
Yeah.
So I'm running on fat, not on sugar. We're learning. Internet's got tons of stuff that you can learn.
Sure.
But I've got more focus. I've got the energy, and that allows me to execute on what I now know or want to be, do, and have.
Yes, I know you've got a website, so it's lifemasters.co.za. So we're not giving away your book. People can go and get it.
They can find me.
Yes,
Life Masters.
Swift Success. Try saying that quickly. Swift Success. Yes, online and, of course, in bookstores. That's Tony Duval.
Not in the bookstores yet. Coming soon. It's in digital format now. I'm busy doing final edit.
KK learned from
me. No, did. Listen, I have other people that I coach that have written 7 books, and I haven't finished mine. Okay. I'm a student as well.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Tony.
You. Bless you.